God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Now, this past month, I've started a children's service for our nursery school, and so far we have about 30 kids registered by their parents to come. And this past week, I asked them if they had ever seen a Charlie Brown Christmas. I asked them that, and their hands all shot up, and I said it was one of my favorite shows, too. And then one of them, before I could go into the story about Jesus that Linus tells in the Charlie Brown Christmas, one of them looked at me with a surprised look and said, "Mother Diana, you watch cartoons?" I said, "Well, yes. Doesn't everybody?" Now, I suppose anyone attending our Christmas Day service the past couple of years would tell you that I at least reference cartoons from time to time. Christmas ones, anyway. A couple of years ago, I started offering a Christmas Day service here in the afternoon. It's a casual, fun service at 3 o'clock that features a contemporary reading in place of the psalm. And for the past 2 years, this reading has been from How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. The book, or cartoon, that is, not that movie version with Jim Carrey, you know, which likely makes Theodore Geisel, the man behind the pseudonym Dr. Seuss, roll in his grave. Anyway, the reading begins at the scene where the Grinch, having stolen all the presents and everything else Christmas from the Whos down in Whoville, is now at the top of Mount Crumpet, ready to dump it. Ready, he believes, to ruin their Christmas. Now, you all know the scene, right? Oh, come on, you know, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." Come on, you know this, right? And he's standing there, and his feet are in the snow, the Grinch, and he's holding his dog Max's paw. Poor Max. And Max is dressed up as reindeer, and his other leg is in the sleigh that's barely staying on top of the mountain. And he's holding him, and he's listening to hear what's going on in Whoville. He's thinking he's going to hear some boo-hooing down there. And all of a sudden, he starts to hear a sound, and it's not crying, but singing. Joyful singing on that Christmas morning. And the reading begins there. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could this be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. It's a classic scene and a familiar story. Maybe it's one of the things you do each year at this time, watch this story or read it. My family, when we were kids, my mom would read it to us, and she would do all the characters. It was totally awesome. And maybe this Grinch classic is one of the things you check off on your very long annual Christmas to-do list. In fact, maybe the list is all done. Presents are bought, cards, and e-cards sent, food prepared, whatever it is that's on your list. You guys got it all together, I just know it. So maybe you're finally ready for Christmas. And yet even if you aren't, even if you're more like me, the house is a mess, nothing is packed, there are still presents to buy, Christmas comes anyway, ready or not. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. I expect it makes a lot of sense because the Christmas story is one about the birth of a small child, and as any parent can tell you, babies don't always come when they're expected. The due dates are not something that gets stamped into some sort of pregnancy app that automatically pushes the baby out at the precise day and time. Without medical intervention, that baby will be born into the world whenever it is time, regardless of it being convenient or not. So it is for Christmas, when a baby entered the world. And no matter what we do or don't do, Christmas will come. It isn't like Santa. We don't have to be good, except you kids out there. You have to be good. Christmas will come, whether or not we're fully done with our to-do list. No Grinch, even if his name is Uncle Joey or your crazy mother-in-law, can stop it. Christmas will come, but it is where and how and why. Oh, see, that's the real gift of Christmas. See, God chose Mary, to be the God-bearer, Theotokos, a young girl of little means from some backwater town in the middle of nowhere. Now, if this was a novel sent to a publisher, I'm sure the rejection letter would read something like, not a believable basis for the narrative, too impossible to be believed. Yet there it is. God chose her. A very unexpected choice. And then the angels were sent by God to announce this miraculous birth to the shepherds, the lowest in society, the ones without means, the ones not welcome in nice places, the ones who care for the flocks in the cold of night. God chose them, the least of these, to be the first to receive the good news. And the story we don't hear tonight, but will on January 7th, from Matthew, then tells us that wise astrologers from a far-off land are given a sign by God that something important has happened. God chose these strangers from a strange land, their religion, if they had one, foreign to, and God chose them and leads them to Bethlehem. God came, Jesus came, just the same, into a world that wasn't ready, to a world that was not expecting him, to a mother that said yes to a place unexpected, to a people unwanted or unknown. Just isn't what we might expect. Yet if you think about it, the story of our faith is filled with the most unlikely characters through whom God chooses to work. I mean, from crazy as a fox Abraham to adulterous King David, Paul who was Saul and sanctioned the murder of Saint Stephen, and Peter who can't get anything right, God keeps entering into relationship with us in the most unlikely ways through the most unexpected people. Actually, perhaps God would have had better success if she had chosen women more often rather than these nutty men. But I digress. And the women are going, see, I told you. But the point is, none of these people were the ones most would have expected God to choose. Least of all Mary, a bunch of shepherds, and some foreign astrologers. And that, my friends, is perhaps the very point of this entire Christmas story. Mary, the shepherds, those strange wise people, the choice of these to bear the good news makes one thing very clear. God didn't come to judge, or punish, or divide, or condemn, despite what some would tell you. No. God didn't choose the powerful, but the powerless. God didn't choose the rich, but the poor. God didn't choose the ones who were seen, but the ones not seen, the ones from the outside looking in, and God chooses again tonight. God chooses you. You. I mean, sure, most people who celebrate Christmas say, they believe in God, you know, generally speaking, but would they expect God to choose them, to work through them, to be born in their midst? Would you? My guess is most would say, no. But make no mistake, that's exactly what's happening here tonight. All of us, every single one of us is a mixture of those folks long ago. Some poor, either financially or spiritually, others lost, some from far away, others searching for something, some caring for a flock, others young, some vulnerable. None of us have our lives together in all the ways we would like. We're a mixed bag of folks with hopes and dreams and worries and fears. And as was true then, we are very much a people like Isaiah described. The hate, bigotry, and violence and greed that has enveloped this country this past year has cast a pall over our land. And so many have had personal tragedies, too, that seem all the more difficult to bear in this time of year. And yet the story of Christmas is that no matter how dark our world becomes, God will always come. Nothing can stop that. Because God wants us to know something so important, something we can lose in the hustle and bustle of the season, something being made known by whom God chooses in this story, and it's this, that no, there is no one who is insignificant to God. No matter how small the world might think you are, no matter how unexpected you might feel it would be, no matter what you have or done or have not done, God is born to you this day. Yes, you. All y'all. God chose this very personal and vulnerable way to get a message to us. And the reason is as simple as the means into which Jesus was born. God chose the very people others did not see, the poor, the stranger, the outcast, to make it absolutely clear that God loves everyone deeply, abundantly, and for all time. You know, we can sometimes make Christmas so complicated that it's barely recognizable for what it is, the most miraculous love story ever told. Maybe that's why you come here tonight. Because you know that there's more to this story too. More than the ribbons, more than the tags, more than the packages, boxes, or bags. Because it really doesn't matter if you bought all the presents you had on your list. Or even if they were the ones people wanted. It doesn't matter if you can afford to buy anything at all. It doesn't matter if your celebration is a loud, raucous affair with loads of family or a dinner with your dog in front of the TV watching the Hallmark Channel. It doesn't matter if you sing songs in English, Spanish, Polish, Lugunda, or Creole. It doesn't matter if your family has a mom and a dad, two moms, two dads, or anything else. It doesn't matter if it snows or if you celebrate under palm trees. None of that matters. As the Grinch figured out, Christmas doesn't come from a store. Christmas does really mean a little bit more. Well, really, a whole lot more. Christmas still came. Jesus came just the same into a world that wasn't ready, to a world not expecting him, to a mother that said yes in a place unexpected, to a people unwanted or unknown. Jesus came just the same this night too, into the darkness of our world. And the angels are telling us that Jesus is born for you, and you will find him in much the same way, in the poorest of places, on the fringes of humanity. He is born that you may know that you are unconditionally loved beyond measure and share this love with others, that all the world may live in peace. See, that's the promise of Christmas. That's the promise of Christmas, that no matter how cold this world may seem, no matter how small we may feel, the light that shines in the darkness will always come. There is always hope, always love. You don't have to puzzle in the snow for 3 hours because it isn't complicated. It's not the kind of complication we make it into be. It really is simple and amazing. Jesus is born this day to you and in you. God chooses you. God loves you. God will always come for you. May Jesus be born anew in your hearts this night, that his light may shine forth in you, filling the world with love, grace, and peace. Merry Christmas.